Places, please. Places for the top of Theater Countdown.
OMG. Anything you can count, I can count better. I can count down anything better than you.
Stop.
That's so true because you're listening to Theater Countdown, podcast, program, YouTube series of your dreams. Hi, it's me, your Broadway buddy Ben Cameron, here with my good Juddy.
Hi, yeah, it's Michael Judson Barry.
Michael Judson Barry.
I'm loving being called Juddy. It's bringing me such joy.
Do you like it?
I do. I think it's really fun.
I feel like I'm pretty liberal about it, and I've never really checked with you. I've never gotten consent.
Well, I haven't burst into tears or run away or quit, so I think that's a good sign.
At least not while we're recording.
At least not while we're recording.
But these countdowns can really be a cause to want to break down and run and cry and hide. And this one.
Yes.
Today's countdown is vicious again.
Yes, it's I could hear you in my head when I was trying to pick the top theater duets.
Just
I could hear you being like, this is savage, like all the words, because this is this was hard. Again, I was like, well, this can't be that bad. How many duets are there? There's lots of duets.
It's all duets everywhere.
And my list, and let me like warn you, friends, I couldn't even count. I have a big 2-page list of duets in front of me. And this wasn't even from doing research. This was just off the top of my head of just the ones that I personally love. Mm-hmm. And it's long. And so we're just going to sort of gut instinct this and see what happens.
I think you have to. Otherwise, the damage to your psyche might be too great.
I know. And therapy is so expensive. I love
totally. My
therapist. But he's pricey and insurance doesn't cover him.
So. No. That's the thing.
Instead,
right?
I'm here.
You're here. And we want you to be here, and we're glad you're here. So we want to remind you that now and always is the right time to follow us on social media at Theater Countdown. That's theater with an R-E because we're fancy pants on all social platforms except on X/Twitter where we're Theater Count because ain't nobody got time for the whole thing. And if you like our show the way that we like you, you should support us on Patreon. It's very easy. It's very cheap. And it comes with so many frills and bonuses that it'll make your theater loving head spin. Community meetups online. You can be in the room watching us record. We'll send you a welcome gift. And of course, extra bonus episodes where we dive even deeper into each of our lists and get an honorable mention top 5 on top of top 10, which is top 15 in Math is Hard.
Yeah, at least we can give shout outs to those 5 that we wish we could get on our 10. So, please join us there. You can tell us all the things that we're choosing that you agree with and all the things that you do not agree with.
Right, and we know that you disagree sometimes. All right, I have to be fully transparent and honest. So this is season 2 of Theater Countdown. Last season with my good, with my pal Asmer Geber-McKell, who is off being the associate director for the new Broadway hit The Notebook, we did... duets countdown, and I was faced with some really big decisions to make, and one of the options was that I would do an entirely new list of top theater duets, and I couldn't use any of them from last season. But then I thought to myself, my God, that will leave me. I just felt like I would be inauthentic, so. I didn't really look back at what the list was. I don't really even remember, but I created a new list, and certainly there's going to be some of the same on there. But most of you probably didn't listen to that, but you can. It's still out there.
Yes,
but,
I highly recommend it.
I'm just choosing to be me, Juddy. Is that okay?
That's okay. You can be you. This is a safe space.
Oh my God, finally, a safe space. Mm-hmm. That's all I've been wanting, all I've been looking for.
What's that song? It's like, I've gotta be me.
I've gotta be me.
Ba-da-da-da-da, to do it or die. Yeah.
All right, name a Broadway musical that starred Sammy Davis Jr. Go.
Wait.
You were about to say it.
I was? No, yeah. I don't know. Wait, what did he star in?
Golden Boy.
Oh.
Didn't he? Am I spreading rumors?
I just did a big O because in my brain it sounded so correct, but now I actually don't know. But we are
of course, 1964. Sammy Davis Jr. in Golden Boy, original Broadway cast album. That's absolutely right. And Sammy Davis Jr. was slight of build, so the fact that he's playing a boxer is exciting stuff. That's what Golden Boy's about.
Mm-hmm. It's about a boxer. That, welterweight or something like that?
Oh, God, featherweight? Welterweight? Heavyweight? Remember, friends, before there was Rocky the Musical, there was Golden Boy. And
yes.
I think Golden Boy probably fared a little bit better, honestly.
Oh, but Rocky had the big boxing ring that came out into the audience. It was so
cool. It's wild.
And if you didn't move quickly enough, it was a Broadway decapitation. It wasn't. But you got to walk up and sit on the stage. It was so cool.
That is so cool.
Carl singing and boxing all at once and telling us about his nose.
At least it's not broke yet. Yeah. We get more and more of the theater that like puts you in the space and moves you around, which is really fun. Like that was a big moment. Here Lies Love, which I adored, had that crazy thing where they had the rotating stage in the center of the floor and there were seats way up. But if you're on the floor, you had to move as the stage moved. And there were people with like landing the plane lights in their hands that were moving you around. And I just think that immersive kind of thing is so cool.
Unless you're me and you did it, but then quickly realized you didn't want to move and you found the corner of the stage where the stage would move by you and you didn't have to move. I found the best spot in the house to stand in. I was really proud.
You did?
And I was not giving it up. Me and my little group, we like hunkered in a corner and whenever the stage went by, we like smushed really tight in so we didn't get shoved. We cheated. We cheated. Here Lies Love. We failed. We got a C+ at Here Lies Love audience participation. But it was a great show. I enjoyed it.
I liked it very much, but the fact of the matter is, you didn't fail it at all because you bought tickets.
That's true.
I purchased tickets
with my monies. Yeah. Yes, yeah. I did the thing. I went to TDF. I bought them at TKTS in Times Square.
What a wonderful place to buy your tickets. I just love TDF and TKTS. Sponsor us.
Yeah, they do really nice things. Sponsor us.
Sponsor us.
Yeah.
Sponsor us. I'm excited, though, to hear your favorite duets, because I think a duet in musical theater is always a highlight of the show, because we love a soliloquy, we love a stand in the middle of the stage and belt to the rafters moment, and we love an I Want song, and we love an 11 o'clock number, which quite often are not duets. But the duets, you get to really find out what these characters in a show want from each other and how they navigate. So the way they communicate with one another kind of really spills the tea on what these characters are all about. I love a duet.
Oh, sorry. I was just like, I was
you
so,
don't?
I had the best
you
time
don't
watching
love
it.
It.
And I don't love it. I think they're fine. No, I love duet. as much as Judy Garland loved to sing, I love a piano. I personally love a duet. I love to hear two people sing upon a stage. Anyway, I'm not even going to try and change the lyrics to that.
It's a very harmony.
Niche thing. And this was, I love a duet and I love, because also I love a YouTube rabbit hole of people in cabarets singing the same duet over and over, which I have definitely done.
Sure.
I can't even tell you how many hours I have watched many people sing Lily's Eyes. Who hasn't? I love them so much. Should we dive in? Because I'm actually really curious to see what's on your list. Let's just do it.
Go.
Because as I said, mine aren't even in an order right now. I have literally, I want to say 44 songs in front of me. And
once
I'm just going to see what happens. This is the Wild Wild West.
I love them all so much, these duets, that I'm hoping that we can find each other somewhere where I didn't get room in my top 10, and maybe you're in there.
Well, and that's why I'm hoping you're going to help narrow this down.
Would you like me to?
Because there's some duets that are like two duets from the same show.
Right.
And so I'm really hoping that you'll do one so I can do the other. So if you would like to kick us off, that would be magical.
I will tell you one place where I did have to school myself, because I was thinking about Kiss Me from Sweeney Todd.
Ooh.
Have on Sunday, blah, 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 kiss me, blah, blah, blah. But in actuality, I was like, but I can justify this because it's two duets happening at the same time. It's Beatle and the Judge and Anthony and Joanna. Which really...
You do actually, love a two for the price of one, don't you?
And that's not fair. That's a quartet. And that's another list, another countdown for another time.
Yeah. And so also, how do you feel about songs where it's a duet, but not... Where it's like one... And I Will Sixes didn't make the list. I've decided it's not going to make the list just now as I'm speaking.
I hope I think I know exactly what you're going to say. I hope you say it.
You and Me, But Mostly Me from
Book
of Mormon.
Okay.
Because it's what really I was thinking. His song with just the other one kind of like chiming in. Where he's like, I could stand next to you,
and watch. Yeah.
And it's so and funny. But like, is that a duet?
All right.
I've decided it's not. I vetoed it, but I'm shouting it out because I like it.
I'm going to polarize this whole situation right now before we start to count down. Because I think, in theory, this is a duet, the song I'm about to say. And it's one of the most beautiful melodies ever written. It's one of the most gorgeous songs. But it is a duet. But really what it is, I'm talking about If I Loved You. From Carousel.
Great. Okay. Because that answers the question I had.
Right.
Okay.
Here's the deal. It's really two solos. They never really sing together. She does a whole thing. He responds, does the whole thing. And so, they're on stage and it's the same song and they're both singing it, but they're not really ever, are they ever singing it together?
They really just sing the same song twice.
Yes.
At each other. Because I literally just got into this debate with a friend yesterday who's a huge theater buff. And we were talking about, I was like, oh, I have to pick duets. This is so hard. My list just keeps growing. And I threw out If I Loved You. And he was like, you can't use that because I don't think that's a duet. I think that's just two people standing on stage singing the same song at each other. And so, and there's a handful of songs like that, especially those old, like, golden age songs where it's it's a couple standing on stage and they just sort of repeat the same thing at each other. Yeah. So that's good. I'm glad you said that because that helps narrow it down a little bit more.
Well, I did look at some things online, and If I Loved You was listed in a lot of top tens that other people have made about greatest musical theater duets.
I'm sure, but it's a beautiful song.
Well, obviously it's gorgeous. And once again, we've talked about this on the show before, the Josh Henry, Jesse Mueller recording. I've just never heard two voices sound better singing it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it's this. I'm not giving it duet status today. Not this day.
Okay, good. Not on this day, mon frère.
Not this day. My flag firmly in the sand of that two people singing the same song at the same time frame.
Great.
All right. Let's do it. I think we should do it.
Let's do it.
Also,
I think we should just end the episode there because nothing we say is going to top that. So goodbye. Yeah. It's been so nice.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening at 2.5 speed, which is really the only way to do it. All right. It must be done. This was hard. I definitely think I'm starting off with one that I didn't see. Do you want me to start or do you want to go?
I don't know. Actually, I am kind of excited about my first one.
All right, you go.
Because now that I'm staring at my list, I've figured out what it is. And it is, because it's the top of my list, it's You're the Top from Anything Goes. that's literally how I made that decision. Welcome to the way my brain works.
I love it.
I love You're the Top. I think it's such a great duet. I think Anything Goes has loads of great duets in it because it essentially is like a variety show with a loose story strung through it. But it's really just a series of vignettes and fun songs and fun characters. So there's so many great duets.
Very indicative of the time, right? Very indicative of when we didn't really care about a super strong narrative. We're like, we got these great songs and some real pizzazz.
Yeah, we just wanted to watch Ethel Merman like bounce her shoulders and sort of look vaguely off to the side and sing the songs. Which she always did.
Which she does better than anyone.
They always look kind of up to like top right corner.
Listen, if you're ever feeling as an actor person listening, if you're ever feeling like you don't know how to take it or where this lyric is going, a little side eye up into the corner suggests you're thinking really hard. Fake them out.
Uh-huh, just look off to...
Merman that, baby.
Merman it. And even Stanheim was like, Merman often didn't know what the hell was going on. But she... But listen, she sold song.
All of it, yeah.
And yeah, so, I mean, Anything Goes in general is a great duet show. I mean, DeLovely, Friendship. But I think You're the Top is the most fun one, just because the lyrics are so fun. I love a listy song.
Yeah.
And it gave us that great Patti LuPone revival where she sings Arrow Kala, and no one can say Arrow Collar like Patti LuPone.
No. It's like custom built.
GRP or GOP. What does that even mean? Only Cole Porter knew.
Yeah.
So talk about a fun, bouncy duet to kick off the list. It's
I love that.
They're the top. This is the top. And so that's how I'm kicking us off.
At the top of the show. This is so thematic. You're welcome. Wow.
And this is how my brain is going to go this episode. It's going to be great.
I'm excited about it.
Hot tamale. You're an angel. You simply too divine. You're a Botticelli. You're Keats.
You're Shelley.
You're Ovaltine.
You're a boon. You're the damn at boulder.
You're the moon over Mae West's shoulder. I'm the nominee of the GOP.
Or GOP.
But if baby, I'm the bottom.
But if baby, I'm the bottom.
But if baby, I'm the bottom. You're the top.
Oh, yeah.
What a joy.
Yeah. It is. It's the most fun lyrically. It's just like a petri dish of like zingers and wordplay and...
Yeah.
Watch what I can rhyme.
Yeah, such a delight. Probably so difficult to memorize. Can you imagine when they were first doing it, poor Ethel Merman, because she struggled with that. Every day he came in with more things that you could be.
Yeah.
She's like,
do you think that's how it started?
So many things I can top. Anyway, so fun.
Well, I've been saying that for years. All right. number 10 on the top of my list, number 10, and I don't think this made it onto my list last season, which is where things are happening. But I have come to my senses, I think, and realized that this is so important. Okay. I'm going with Wheels of a Dream from the musical Ragtime. Brian Stokes Mitchell, Audra McDonald originated this. Well, Sean's originally in Canada, and then they brought Audra in. But it is it's a rousing anthem. It is arguably the anthem of a show full of anthems, quite honestly, Ragtime. But what they do vocally, their voices are just so strong, and there's just these moments where Audra, that we love so much, I just know theater nerds love that, when she flips down into her super chesty voice on some of these intervals when they're in the harmony at the end of Wheels of a Dream. Tell me, listeners, tell me, gay people, that you don't swoon over Audra McDonald popping into her just, and we will ride. Oh, it's so good.
So will ride.
Oh. And she does these little riffs in her head voice, and it's so kind of unexpected from Audra.
Yeah.
But it's such a powerful melody. It's huge. It's beautiful. It speaks to the hope of kind of that early turn of the century Black experience and like the power of like what having a car would even mean to people at that time, which is wild to think about, isn't it? But it's one of the great duets ever recorded. So let's listen to, this is Audra and Brian Stokes Mitchell singing it live several years later. At the Kennedy Center in a concert situation. So if you watch this video on YouTube, you just see how utterly delighted they are to be singing this song together again. Sans costume, sans baby in arms, sans car. Wheels of a Dream is my top 10, is my number 10. Hit it.
Oh,
I have literally have chills. It's so good.
Random.
It's music like this that makes me love musical theater. It is why it's my favorite genre of music and art on this planet. And yes, Juddy, you can march to it.
You can
absolutely march
at the end of that,
to Wheels of a Dream.
I want to just, if I was them, like, I mean, could you, how satisfying to sing that song with those orchestrations? I would literally crumple on the floor and take a nap. Maybe eat a cheeseburger. Like, I'd be like, someone, bring me food.
I just can't
move for a minute. Like,
but you heard that?
Get me a Lindor chocolate. My favorite flavor is blue. Like.
What is that? Is that a quote?
It's from Oh Hello, if you ever saw
that. Oh, yeah.
Talk about a great. Yeah. Do an entire show that's one long duet.
But do you hear that? Would you? Annie will ride. It's too.
So I hit it. My introduction to that song before I ever heard the Ragtime soundtrack was it was such a politically.
Johnny, how are we gonna? Wait, hold on. We have to check in here. How are we gonna break you of this habit of calling Broadway cast albums soundtracks?
Oh, I'm so
sorry. We have to break
album.
You of this.
I know.
It's the original cast recording.
This is how I connect to. I'm the bridge to the normals because that's how they. I speak their language. I can't help it. I'm an interpreter.
You know what? I say it because, you know, every once in a while, and I guess I am that person to you right now, you will say that to, like, a really serious theater kid, and they'll be like, excuse me, it is a cast album. Not right. Soundtracks are from movies. So I'm just helping you. I just want you to be safe in the world.
Thank you. And keep on me, you know. I do appreciate it.
You don't.
So I do.
There's no way.
I do. let me look up to Ethel
Merman. He Merman'd it.
I did.
All right.
So before I heard the cast album of Ragtime, I was
so
a big
Renee
Fleming fan. And she and Bryn Terfel, if you're an opera fan... Renee Fleming and Bryn Terfel covered this song because Renee is a huge Broadway buff, as is Bryn Terfel. He later did that amazing concert version of Sweeney Todd with Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
And he's one of the great opera bass baritones. She's obviously one of the greatest opera sopranos of her time. So they did a musical theater album together, all of duets. And that they had no business really doing. Because at the time, Renee didn't really have a chest voice yet. And this is still whenever she sang in English, it just sounded like she was singing in German. Because obviously to sing in an operatic style for women especially, it's a very different style. So they did Wheels of a Dream. And which really, like, wasn't the best move, but it's such a good song. And I'm sure that was the conversation. And they were like, but it's such a good song. And I will say, it's actually pretty magical because they have a full orchestra and it's done by two opera singers. And she, because she can, does a cheeky option up at the end where she goes low like Audrey. And she actually has a really rich chest voice. And then at the end, when he's holding Dream, she goes, and she just like goes up and just like into the rafters because she can. So friends, if you're curious, it's a fun showy version of it.
Bryn and Renee.
Because you could tell she was like, I'm not taking the low option on this. I'm Renee Fleming. Yeah. It's the universe will not be satisfied until I do a huge showy option up.
And she's not wrong about that. She knows what's happening. She knows what's up.
They were in the recording studio and she glanced at him and she was like, gird your loins, buddy.
Yeah. Like, you know. And as an opera baritone, he had loincloths aplenty with which to gird.
That he did. All right. Shall we move on?
I think we should. Number 9 to you, friend.
Number 9. So, okay, I have a question for you.
I have an answer.
Because I think this is a great duet. Okay, I'm just going to go for it. It's Nowadays Into Hot Honey Rag from Chicago.
What was your question about it?
And because the most famous part of this duet is not them singing, it's them dancing. It's the dance break at the end of Chicago. And it's the Hot Honey Rag that we all know and love. And if you're a theater kid, you have probably learned the choreography from the Chicago Revival. The shimmies into that, you know, Alexis Rose hands forward into the back, into the you know, the cartwheel, the spitting into the hands cartwheel. And even when they did, like, great The Divas of Broadway concert at Carnegie Hall, which yes. many of us, if you grew up at a time, have that DVD. Mm-hmm. Karen Ziemba and Bebe Neuwirth did Nowadays Into Hot Honey Rag, and that was their duet. So does that count? Does this
100%.
Okay, great. Thank
it's,
you.
It's a duet. It's a duet. It's a dance
It's just
duo.
A dance duet. And if you're a dancer, this is one of the great duets.
But also, Nowadays is a hell of a song.
I think so, too. Because I was back and forth between I Am My Own Best Friend from Chicago or Nowadays Hot Honey Rag. But I feel like
that package,
dance at the end, I want the whole package. So I'm going to go Nowadays into Hot Honey Rag from Chicago. Because also I feel like Velma Kelly, Roxy Hart, one of the great Broadway duos as well.
And this is the moment where they find their common ground, right?
Yes,
this is the moment
important.
Where they agree. This kind of encapsulates the whole idea of what we've gone through in this Sin City Chicago situation. It's I don't know what it is, but it's important.
It is. It is important
within the show.
Yes.
Yes.
They're finally wearing their sparkly button shoes that they've wanted to wear.
That's all they wanted. They got what they wanted.
They did.
Through dubious means.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. Bob, I have one thing to say about this. When this is edited, don't you dare take out those wah-wahs, because I love sending it to a song that is just them going wah-wah-wah. I'm into it. I think it's the only duet we're going to hear that has a wah-wah chorus. Also, who's giving better wah-wah than Bebe Neuwirth? That vibrato is so broad. It's so wide.
God. Wah-wah-wah.
You know you're listening to Bebe Neuwirth. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
I love it. We were cracking up. We're like, yes, wah-wah chorus.
I love that.
Yes.
Thank you, Chris, for choosing that.
Excellent choice. And I will have you know, Nowadays was absolutely in my ultimate list that didn't make the top 10. So hats off to you.
And again, for me, really, it's the Hot Honey Rag dance break. But obviously Nowadays into it.
And that Wawa so chorus, good. Baby.
And
don't get it twisted.
Listen, anyone
hashtag
Wawa
forever.
Wawa's, you don't want to skip on a
You sure don't. Have you had a sandwich from the Wawa? Oh my God, they make it fresh to order.
Did you ever see
get
Vanya
some gas?
Sonia, did you ever see Vanya, Sonia, Masha, and Spike? The
I didn't,
the
no.
There's a great and moment because it takes place in Pennsylvania where like... character comes in, she's like, I'm going to the Wawa, do you want anything? And Sigourney Weaver did it originally, and she just looks up and she goes, Wawa? Like Helen Keller?
Wawa.
And I died. I was like, that's a terrible joke, and it's so funny.
Oh, it's the best joke. Christopher Durang is a god. I have a Christopher Durang book of plays right there.
Okay. Oof.
All right,
okay.
Number nine. Listen. My number nine, this show only exists because of the duets in it. There are two. There's an act one finisher and a show finisher. And you obviously, if you're going to write a show about Siamese twins in the circus, you've got to have some banging duets. There's two. I'm talking about sideshow people. Mm-hmm. There's the Who Will and the I Will. In this, there's the I Will Never Leave You at the end, which, duh, you're conjoined at the hip. You're not going anywhere. You will never leave you. Yes, correct.
That's fair.
And then in Act One closer, it's Who Will Love Me As I Am. And I'm going to go with Who Will Love Me As I Am as my number nine top duet. What a show pony piece for two incredible singing actresses. Originally, it was Alice Ripley and Emily Skinner who were jointly nominated for the Tony for Best Actress this year as one unit.
Which is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Absolutely crazy. I mean, you can fudge the rules all you want, but they are two different living, breathing actresses. They weren't actually sharing a pair of lungs. So the fact that they nominated them both, listen, I'll take it. If I'm one of them, nominate me and my hat. I don't care. It's like, get me in there. But how utterly ridiculous. But they were jointly nominated as a pair. And then Emily Padgett and I love her so much. I'm forgetting her name. Camilla.
Diana Gray Gardens.
Aaron Davey. Did the beautiful revival. But it's just vocal pyrotechnics. It's just incredible, full melody. And there's nothing they really can do, but just kind of park and bark it and give all the angst and energy that comes with being connected to somebody at the hip, literally.
Yeah, literally.
That leaves a lot that you need to get out into the world. And boy, do they do it in both of these duets. And I really do think that. I really do think that they were like, I've got this great song. That must have been the first two songs written that they're like, these are so good.
Yeah.
That it's worth writing a show around it. Okay. 100%. So Who I Love As I Am from SciJo is number nine. This clip we're going to listen to really quick is when Emily Skinner and Alice Ripley performed the duet on the Rosie O'Donnell show. That's how long ago it was. They're on the Rosie O'Donnell show. And, you know, and I may have talked about this or not, but in 96, 97, when the show opened and ticket sales weren't going well, Emily Skinner and Alice Ripley stood in Times Square personally before their shows, handing out flyers, trying to beg people to come see the show because the marketing, let's be honest, was totally off in the beginning. If you look at the cast album cover artwork, it's weird and grainy and disjointed and you don't know what you're looking at. And then someone says, but it's about Siamese twins. You're like, I'll see Phantom. Thank you very much. Yeah. So they were out there like pounding the pavement, doing the work to try to keep the show open because they believed in it so much. And I'm a huge fan of the show. So they deserve this. They deserve this recognition.
They do. And also, I love that it's a Rosie O'Donnell one because that was my introduction to this show.
To theater.
Them on Rosie O'Donnell. Because Rosie was so great for Broadway when she was on.
Rosie, at that time, saved Broadway. Honestly.
She did.
She single-handedly, if you recall, pushed Titanic not only into being a hit, but into winning the Tony because she loved it so much. The musical Titanic. Not to be confused with Titanic. All right, here we go. Emily and Alice, here they are. I love that Emily Skinner on that last note was like, you know what? I'd rather be down a third. I've got to hold this. I've got to hold this for a few bars. I think I'm going to be more comfortable down.
So I have to sing this again tonight at the theater. Yeah, listen, kids. I gave you what you wanted.
Electrifying. I love it so much.
Oh my God. And talk about, remember when we did Songs to Sing in the Shower? Talk about a great song. If you are at rock bottom and you are literally in your clothes, crumpled in a ball on your shower floor with like tepid water falling on you, you are singing this song.
Absolutely. Who will send me flowers or a telegram?
Yeah. And then you get up, look in the mirror, and you sing I Will Never Leave You with mascara running down your face.
Oh my God! It's a full day.
Full day. Oh no!
You're busy that day.
Pick a number eight.
Yes, you must.
Oh gosh. Okay.
God, I love that song.
Oh, I'm still recovering.
It's still rattling in my bones.
You know, I'm gonna switch gears because that was such a heavy one. Let's pick up with a fun one. So this is from. This is called The Grass Is Always Greener.
Yes, yes, yes. Excellent.
Woman of the Year. Now, most people do not know this musical. It's based on a Katharine Hepburn film that even fewer people know about. It starred Lauren Bacall when it opened on Broadway. Lauren Bacall, who inexplicably won 2 Tony Awards for Best Actress in a Musical, even though Harvey Fierstein would beat her in a singing competition. Bless her. I do love Lauren Bacall. She'll teach you how to whistle any day. Applause.
Yeah.
The grass is always greener. And if you really want to go down a fun Woman of the Year YouTube rabbit hole, there's Debbie Reynolds took over for her on Broadway.
I love Debbie Reynolds.
I do. And there's a great sequence where Debbie, again, you thought she sounded unhinged in
it's got to be more than 9th Avenue.
Yeah. Oh, just wait till you hear 80s Debbie in Woman of the Year where she's like, I am the woman. It's great because there's also a clip of her on the final performance when she just roasts the producers where she's like, we had a great show. I did my job. Like in her closing night speech, she's like, well, I mean, the producers decided to close the show, but I mean, what do they know? So funny and unhinged. But so The Grass Is Always Greener, though, is the song that I feel like popped from this musical that sort of fell into obscurity. It's so funny. It's sort of a token sort of schlubby character with a glamorous character in this sort of love triangle situation. But they're singing about how each sort of wants the life that the other wants. And if you're two character actresses, it is such fun. And I feel like I've seen this in so many cabarets, and it's just always a crowd pleaser because it's just so funny.
What's so wonderful? I love it.
I've seen so many drag queens do this, and you can play with the lyrics to make it about yourself. It's great.
Oh, for sure.
I'd rather make a pot roast.
So go and brown an onion.
And have some peace and quiet.
You've already had my husband.
What a button. We're going to have to do a countdown of the best musical theater buttons, and that may show up again. It's hard, bop.
Boom.
It's hilarious. brown and onion.
You've already had my husband.
My husband. It's too good. It's too good. It's giving me bosom buddy vibes.
Yes. Because it's just so dry. I feel like Jackie Hoffman and anybody. I've never seen Jackie Hoffman do this song, and I feel like I'm going to start a petition.
Oh, it'd be hilarious. Get Jackie Hoffman and Susan Blackwell to do it. That would be good.
Yeah. Okay.
Excellent choice. That was also on my master list as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah. All right. Number 8. Classic. None of mine are going to be fun and upbeat. I just think it's time I told you.
Good, because I keep leaning towards these more pattery ones. So
it's important that you do, because I just want to like march all day long. You can march to this next song for sure. I'm going with number 8, West Side Story, A Boy Like That / I Have a Love. You all know what this is about. It's Anita. Oh my gosh, Bernardo's been killed, and her best friend is going to run away with the murderer, and all of it's just the stakes are so unbelievably high at this point, and they're just on two opposing sides of this earth-shattering nightmare of a situation, they're trying desperately to change each other in this. They're desperately trying to get the other one to see their side of it. And no one's backing down except that Anita eventually backs down. It's so heartfelt. I Have a Love is such a beautiful melody. A Boy Like That is all the fire you want from Anita, which is the most bulletproof role in the history of anything. Like, do it. You'll get a Tony. You'll get an Oscar, whatever you want. It's like...
Literally.
Yeah.
And interesting that you put, because there are so many really great duets in West Side Story.
100%.
And that are lyrical and beautiful and light, but I think you're right that this one is the meatiest.
Yeah.
So I love that you chose this one.
And I think it's really exceptional in that it is not a love duet.
Which so many of the duets that we love the most are the love duets, you know, I ask of yous and that kind of thing. But this is conflict. And it manages to do this with real heart and real sincerity, as opposed to, you know, something like the confrontation from Les Mis or something that is so over the top, right?
Yeah.
So number 8, A Boy Like That / I Have a Love.
Love
Side Story.
My heart.
Boy like that.
No,
you're your brother.
My heart.
Forget that boy.
It is
find another.
One of your own kind. To your own kind.
To him alone. One thing I know.
A boy who kills.
Who I am
kills.
He is. I don't care.
A boy who kills.
What he is.
I don't know.
And he's the
boy.
Gets your love. And that's our heart.
That is
mine. That is mine.
That is
mine.
You should know better. You were in love. Or so you said. You should know better.
Okay. Our cards are all on the table right there.
And talk about a song that's a conversation. Like, it's two different things. Boom.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
so
good.
Yeah. I feel really good about that one.
I love
Number
that.
Number 7, Juddy.
Oh, no.
What happens now?
Oh, boy. Okay, because we're getting down to it. Okay.
Ooh.
I know what we're going to do. I figured it out. This was going to be an earlier one, but you know what? No. This is going to be my number 7. It's Nothing Without Me from City of Angels.
Oh, excellent. Woohoo, yahoo, and 2 thumbs up.
Thank you. I love this song. I have loved this song since I heard the original cast album.
Well, before I ever saw the show. A good theater nerd now.
Thank you. I'm trying to learn. that's why I'm not your Broadway buddy. I'm just theater enthusiast.
You know that it's a made-up title that I just gave myself, right? Everyone's aware that I just decided to call myself that.
Listen,
it's not like Esquire.
I will follow.
But it is the name of my LLC.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a great name.
Yeah. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Anyway, City of Angels.
City of Angels.
I saw a great production of City of Angels at the Donmar in
London. Donmar.
And if you don't know the show, it's about a writer who's really struggling and going through a lot of things in his own life, and then the fictional character that he's created and sort of his world. So his world's in black and white. So it's very film noir. And then there's the real world, which is like 1950s Hollywood, I want to say, which is where they are. So it's got this great sort of like, you know, film noir-y old Hollywood-y feel. So Nothing Without Me is so good because it's the author battling with his fictional character that he's created. And they actually, like, get in a fight, which I think is so great. And when they did it, the Donmar, which was fun, was the two men were moving around the stage and they used projections to light it. So as one would walk, more of the stage would become black and white and his world would start to take over. And then the other one would move and his world would start to take over.
Oh.
So there was this like battle of colors. And at one point they had different levels and one went up to a balcony and one stayed down. So it even shifted horizontally. It was so cool. But regardless, I love this song. The original cast was Greg Edelman, the great Greg Edelman, who's back on Broadway, and James Naughton, who's from the original cast of Chicago. And it ends with this crazy high note.
What's Greg Edelman in right now?
He's, I want to say, in Water for Elephants.
Oh, cool.
And actually, the first time I ever saw City of Angels was at Ben Platt's high school production.
No.
And Ben was a senior and he was playing Greg Edelman's role. He was playing the writer. And my voice teacher at the time was the music director at the high school. And it was one of those high schools where all the famous kids went, right? So
right,
like Mary
sure.
Lou Henner was the mom selling cookies before the show. It was all like children of Hollywood people. And my voice teacher was talking to me. He was like, I've got this kid. He's playing the lead. His dad's like a big, big producer. Anyway, he's great though, but he's really struggling with the high note at the end. Because if you listen to it, it ends on a very high note for both of them. And to this day, and he was like, but I got it. I taught him how to hit that note. And when Dear Evan Hansen came out, the voice teacher wrote to me and he was like, I taught him how to sing those notes. I taught him how to be a tenor. I want all the credit. So my first time seeing Ben Platt was, he was, and I will say, even as a high school kid, he was great. I was,
and
you
also,
know, the wizened 22-year-old who was like, well done.
Yeah, well, Ben Platt knows his way around a high note.
Like, holy moly. If you listen to some of his pop music, which I absolutely love, some of it is just in the rafters, and he is soaring vocally. Yeah. It's really, really fun. Oh, I love this song so much. This is so great.
Let's do it. Let's jump in.
That is such a good song. That score is one of my favorites too. That's one of my favorite Cass albums to listen to. Actually, there's just some great music. Another great duet from that show is "What You Don't Know About Women."
I was gonna say show has a couple really, really great duets.
Yeah, and the tennis song,
mm-hmm. Rachel York.
Forget it.
All right.
D. Hody sizzling. All right, number
Who
7.
Doesn't love a D. Hody moment.
Everyone loves a D. Hody moment. All right, number 7 for me. I'm going, you have to have some Sondheim in here, and this is where it's coming in for me. I'm going with Move On.
Yes.
From Sunday in the Park with George.
We've
been through it all, and we come back to Dot and George, and she reappears to him, and they have to kind of discuss where he is in the dilemma of making art. And it is just one of those songs that I think lyrically in here, there are some truths that we, the people who sing, need to remember always. I have nothing to say. What is it? Let it come from you, then it will be new. There's just so many wonderful truths in this, and it's kind of this like wonderful playbook to live your life as an artist, or just as trying to be a good human. Stop wondering if your vision is new. Others make that decision. They usually do. You keep moving on.
So good.
It's just so good. And it's Manny Patinkin originally and Bernadette Peters at the height of their powers chewing the scenery. But there's not a bad recording of this. You know, even the Annalee Ashford, Jake Gyllenhaal is pretty great. And there was that wonderful Studio 54 revival that had come over from London 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of real bougie theater types really revere Sunday in the Park with George as one of the greatest musicals ever. It's not an accessible musical. If you have shown up in New York and you want to see a Broadway musical and you've got dad and the kids with you, I've learned this the hard way. Don't take them to see Sunday in the Park with George. I took my sisters, who I thought would be smart enough to handle it, and they just couldn't stand it. But it is a masterpiece.
Yes.
And we as evolved artistic sorts. But this song is the heart and soul of it. And such a beautiful duet and such a great healing moment for these two characters who can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
They're too lost in their own wants and things, and the struggle, the internal struggle of being an artist, which is kind of this great overtone of Sunday in the Park with George. The person who loved him the most, that he couldn't receive enough, comes back to tell him he's doing okay.
Yeah.
Which is so poignant.
Relatable for both of them. I feel like everyone has been in either of those pairs of shoes at some point in time. You're the one who's come back, who's like, you can do it, move on. And then you're the person who's stuck, who needs to hear it. You know, that's you to me every time I say Broadway soundtrack. And you're like, no.
Absolutely. I say move on.
Yeah.
But I don't say it like this. Hit it, Mandy and Bernie.
Through to something new, something of my own. Keep moving on. Look
at what you've done.
Something in the light, something in the sky, in the grass up behind the tree.
Look at all the things you gave to me.
Things I haven't looked at till now. Flower in your hand. And your smile.
I would be
the color of your hair. And the way you catch the light.
Oh, it's too good.
So good.
Move on. Yes, get into that lyric. Everybody pull that up and just read it through, because we need it. We need it on the daily.
Yeah, let others make, they usually do. And she always goes for, she always says it like that. Which usually I love, no matter do. When she, they usually do.
Usually do.
Yeah. Usually do. that sounds like something very different.
Now it's a doo-wop song.
It's a oh no. Okay, so this is my number six. This is my last one for today.
All right.
Ugh. Where do I want to go? There's so many good ones. You know what I think?
Where do you want to go? Whoa. Ooh,
I think we're going to end on a fun
on
sort
a
of
high note?
Big one. Okay. We're going to do Lily's Eyes from Secret Garden.
Oh. Okay.
Now that good dude duets clearly is where my brain is right now. And Lily's Eyes, no matter what, if it's the original cast album or Anthony Warlow does a beautiful version where he sings it with himself. Where it's on, he sings both parts. And it's, if you know Anthony Warlow, you know his voice is just perfection. And so why sing it with anybody else when you're the best?
Yeah.
And recently at Miscast, Audrey McDonald and Kelly O'Hara did it.
Oh.
And they pulled a Renee Fleming and they optioned up at the end. And it's great because in that version, if you watch the video of Kelly O'Hara and Audrey McDonald singing Lily's Eyes, they have a cute banter at the beginning. Like, is there enough room for two sopranos on Soprano Island? Because it's like Audra sort of crashing Kelly's song. But the best is the men in the background, because I want to say who's behind them, like Will Swenson and, Will Chase and a couple other guys are back there, all who have done Lily's Eyes in various cabarets and things. And to watch them watch the two women sing it and just blow them out of the water is really fun to watch. I want to say Rolo Sparza is just like losing his mind behind them. And it's fun to watch Broadway stars freak out at other Broadway stars.
You know? 100%.
It's just great, but it's such a beautiful, beautiful song. Harkening back to sort of that style of like a ragtime style. I think Secret Garden has some gorgeous music in general, but Lily's Eyes, if you're looking at a duet, it's just a chef's kiss. So, Chris, I'm curious to see which version you chose to have us listen to.
I mean, undeniable. And now all I could think about just now is what Audra and Kelly would sound like optional at the end there. And how glorious that would have had to have been.
Good.
That's wild.
Oh, I highly recommend it. It's on the YouTubes.
That was absolutely going to be my number six. Is that right? Is that what math looks like?
I love when we accidentally end up on the same page together.
I know, I love it too.
It's very reassuring for me.
Yes. The theater geek in me sees the theater geek in you. But I am prepared for this moment.
Okay.
Because you know how hard it is to narrow it down. And so this gives me an opportunity to represent another song in my number six spot.
Great.
Which is such kind of an anomaly of a song. Because I think that it is, in the Stephen Sondheim canon, quite possibly the single most pop song he's ever written.
Ooh,
it's
okay.
So melodically accessible and beautiful. And but it's a duet that is not necessary, that is not at all actually sung to the other person in the song. In fact, they're singing to other people whom they don't even know, because they're psychopaths who are about to try to kill people. So I'm giving number six is Unworthy of Your Love from Assassins.
Nice.
It's so disarming as a song, because you listen to it and it is so kind of lush and lovely. And if you're not really zeroed into the lyrics or know the context of the show Assassins, which is just wild beyond belief.
Oh my God.
It just sounds like a beautiful love duet. And as I say, so easy on the ears in a way that Sondheim usually isn't. And they're singing to the people they're obsessed with that make them want to go out and shoot people in the name of them. So the character Squeaky Fromm, who was a follower in real life, these are real people, of Charles Manson. So she's singing to Charles Manson, who's not there, and John Hinckley, who was obsessed with Jodie Foster as a child, and to prove his love to Jodie Foster, tried to assassinate Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Which is bonkers. So they sing the song kind of separately, but it's so beautifully put together. In, you know how we like to do our like side-by-side by Sondheims or old friends and that kind of thing? We take the Sondheim songs and we put them in a different context in like kind of a review show.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we love a Sondheim review everywhere.
Right. So in that, at least in London, John Barrowman and Ruthie Henshall, who we love, two big West End stars, they reconfigured this to be an actual just love duet. And they changed a couple of the lyrics. So it really does work as a tender love duet in the context. Uh-oh. But the original context is that these are batshit crazy stalker people with the capacity to kill. And they sing a song that just sounds like the most beautiful love duet you've ever heard, which is wild, which is why Sondheim remains the greatest of all time. So this is from the original off-Broadway Playwrights Horizons cast album, which features the one and only Annie Golden, who is, I remember this voice. I heard this voice on the CD of Assassins, and I was like, what is this? Is this the greatest belting I've ever heard? Her voice is so pingy. She still sounds like this today. And you will, I want you to listen for this, in the quality of her voice. She was the original voice that Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman had in mind for Tracy Turnblad in Hairspray. So all the demo recordings of Good Morning Baltimore and I Can Hear the Bells are all performed by Annie Golden, who, of course, wasn't anywhere close to being a teenager. But listen to the quality of her voice and all that. Annie Golden goes way back. She was in the original Hair. She was in the movie of Hair. She's got the red hair. She's unbelievable. And she still works like crazy today.
Oh, yeah. If I'm you obsessed. Need a, she was a kooky lady, you'd call her.
Yeah. And weirdly enough, she was on Orange is the New Black as a mute, which is like the craziest thing. Her character was mute until one episode. I think her name was Norma. They let her sing and everybody's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
That's a lot of backstory on Annie Golden, but this is number six, Unworthy of Your Love from Assassins. Yeah. There it is.
I would come take you from your life.
I would come take you from yourself.
You would be queen to me, not wife.
Right? It sounds
it's funny when you think about it, though. It's hilarious.
It's hilarious. Like, but doesn't it sound like a radio hit from the late 70s, early 80s, like soul pop song? And that belly deep through hell. I'm gonna do a humble brag for a minute. So Annie Golden has been a guest for me at my show Broadway Sessions in New York City. If you're ever in New York, you want to come see that. And I forced her to sing Unworthy of Your Love with me. And there's video proof of me singing that song with her. And that's a moment, my friends, where the theater kid inside of me could die a very happy death.
Oh my god.
We did it.
That
the
is
we
very cool. We did it
and we duetted it.
We're duetted it.
Duetted it. Hey, so next time we are going into our top five. So if you think the struggle bus was real here, it's only gonna get strugglier and bussier. Mm-hmm. And we have some very special guests who are gonna share some of their top five musical theater duets with a twist. The theater lovers, who we all know and love, yes, on the social medias, is here with us, mm-hmm, next time.
I am so, so excited to chit chat with them, because I'm such a big fan. I'm so excited to finally meet,
yeah,
them. So it's going to be great.
Awesome.
Tune in.
As always, rate and review. Share us with your friends. We're into that, mm-hmm, sort of thing. Comment. We want to know, yes, what your thoughts are. And of course, follow us on social media at Theater Countdown with an RE, because we're very sophisticated on all social, mm-hmm, platforms, except for Twitter/X, where we're just Theater Count.
Indeed, because who has time?
Not I.
No, not I either. All right. I need to go figure out. I just became Scooby-Doo. Is it really one of my, yeah, top five?
Rello, Reggie.
Fine, sorry. This is me tough, so I'm going to need
Was that a clue?
Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll find out.
All right, this has been so much fun.
Has.
We love you. Get out there, make some art, have some fun, be a friend, and remember...
That's showbiz.
Kid.
Yeah. Great. We did it.